Just like that. All right. Are we good? We good? Everybody good at home? Everybody good here? Good to be in the house of the Lord. King David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto us, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need the house of the Lord. I need the fellowship of other believers. I need to hear from His word. I need to know that I've been forgiven. Yeah. I need to know that His grace is still sufficient today. I need to know that His mercies are new every day. I wasted His grace and His mercy yesterday, but guess what? His grace is still sufficient today, and His mercy is still new again today for me.
Right.
Everything I need, He gives every day.
Amen.
I want to share with you a couple of thoughts and a couple of things. I want to tell on myself, if you don't mind. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. All right. Maybe if I do, you'll feel a little better about yourself. That's fine. Have you ever done something for someone hoping to get something in return?
Yeah.
I remember one time I really, really, really wanted something from Ashley, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to clean up for her. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to really surprise her, right? She was at school teaching, and I cleaned up the den. I cleaned up the kitchen. I even did the dishes.
Oh, wow.
Now, for somebody who's got a weak stomach and sees stuff I get, you know, used food, different, you know, I was like, she's going to know this is a huge deal. Because I did the dishes. Not just clean out the dishes, right? Well, she came home and all she said was, wow, did a cleaning fairy come by? She said, thanks to the cleaning fairy, I appreciate it, and went on about her business. And I thought, oh, okay, well, at least she recognized it, acknowledged it. Okay, we're good. A little bit later that evening, I said, you know what, I think it's time I'm going to ask. I asked for this thing that I really wanted, and you know what, something happened. It mustn't have been the right time, because she said no. And I was thinking, wow, I must have picked the wrong time, because you know what, I said, oh, here's what I'll do. You know what, I'll remind her about the cleaning fairy. I just want to remind you, you know, the cleaning fairy and all of this. And I found out a lot that it wasn't not only the right time to ask. I also found out a lot more of things I didn't know about myself. And I'll just leave it at that. But the problem is this. You ready for this? The problem is this. I hadn't deposited any credit into her account to be able to make a withdrawal at that time. I had a negative balance on my account on her books. Now listen for a minute. You know, we at Mother's Day, you know, and things like that, we say, like, you know, hey, you know what, guys, y'all need to go buy flowers. You need to do nice things for mothers and your wives and things like that, your friends or whatever. It's okay because it's part of the culture and things like that. However, they know you're doing it because it's on the calendar that day. And they know that you're kind of obligated because of all those things. And if your loved one says, you never buy me flowers. You have an argument and you hear that. You don't go out that day and buy flowers and bring them home. That's the worst thing you can do. I'm just telling you guys, don't do that. I'm going to help you with this. Here's what you do. Put it on your calendar for 2 or 3 weeks away. To remind yourself to do it then. Because then it looks like at least it's voluntary and out of the blue, right? Yeah. But the question is, let me ask this. I really want us to start to do some soul searching today for a minute. Do we sit around wondering why no one helps us? Do we sit around wondering why no one is friendly to us? Have we really come to a point where we really done some soul searching and asked ourselves, have we ever deposited anything into other people's accounts first? Are we a contributor or are we just a consumer? Do we wonder why workers never go an extra mile for us when we start out the conversations with them, telling them our complaints? There's an old saying, right, that says the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And we've said it for so long that now we live it out in our life from the start. We start off with that. Instead of going, you know what, I'm going to try to talk to somebody. I want to have a relationship with them. I want to build a relationship. I need to just talk to a worker or something. And we're waiting in line. And we already have this idea, this mindset that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we already know that we got to start out squeaky, not start out nice. And it's come to that point in life now that we just start it immediately, right? And then we wonder why we can't get any help or get anyone to go the extra mile for us when it comes to really needing it. Or we pour into people's lives so much and then we get so mad because they don't pour back. We are burnt out and we're exhausted and we're like, I have filled their account full, and yet I'm getting nothing back. And we wonder why we're not getting anything back, because the reason why we're doing it is to get something back. And this goes way against anything our master and teacher taught us. There was a night, very important night, probably the most stressful night of Christ's life. And the disciples knew it was a stressful night. It was a little different than others. They were participating in a thing called the Passover. They were participating in this meal. They knew it was a very special night, and they were able to celebrate this with their master and teacher. And in the midst of it, it doesn't say that they wrestled over what could happen tomorrow. They weren't wrestling over how who they're going to get to serve tomorrow, or who was hurting that we needed to help. No, they started to get into a little discussion that was pretty selfish and pretty self-centered. It was, who's done the most? Who's the greatest? Who's put the most in everybody else's account? You know what, Peter? I've done more than you. I've put more in Jesus' account than you have. I put more money and more stuff, more time and energy into this account than you have, and vice versa. They were arguing over who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and yet Jesus stops them in the middle and he teaches them a principle. He puts a towel around his waist. He bows before them. He starts to do something that only slaves and servants would do. He starts to wash their feet. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. In other words, Jesus says, if you don't let me pour into your account, you will not have any part in the kingdom. Jesus has to pour into our account, right? Jesus does. It says, the Bible says, he credits our account with his righteousness. And if he don't put his righteousness in our account, we have no part in the kingdom. And so here we are being taught this great principle of service. And Jesus tells them this. And then at the end of it, Jesus says, you call me master? Yes, I am. Teacher, that's good. Yes. And what I've done for you, you need to go and do likewise. But he says something there that most of us miss. He says, blessed are you if you do this. Now, that word blessed is not the blessing that we think of when you're blessed. You'll receive blessings from heaven. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Not that kind of blessing. That blessed there is literally this. Joy and happiness you will have if you do what I'm doing to you. In other words, if you are so involved with, I put all of this into somebody else, I've done more than you have, I've done more than you have, I've done more than you have, I've done more, I've been putting all this stuff into other people's accounts, and yet I'm not getting anything back, you're not going to be happy. In fact, you're probably going to be either miserable, bitter, or angry, or depressed. I guarantee you what you're not going to be doing is you're not going to be continuing to serve people. Because you're exhausted and you think, why? What's it worth? What good is it if I'm going to keep serving people and get nothing back, right? But Jesus said, if you're doing it for the right reasons and you just love on them and you just serve them, happy are you. All right? So let me ask you a couple more questions here. Are we wondering why we can't get any help or anyone to go that extra mile when we really need it? We not only don't have credit on our account with them, but all they remember is all that we do is continue to withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. In other words, if you want somebody to credit your account and to be friendly to you, you got to be friendly to them first. We know the golden rule, you know, Luke 6:31, and just as you want me to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Remember the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan? Somebody was hurt on the side of the road. The priest came down one side of the road, passed by. The Levite came down the other side of the road, saw him hurt, and walked on by. And it says the Good Samaritan stopped and took mercy on this gentleman, took care of him, took him to the inn, put him on his horse, took him to the inn, gave money to the innkeeper. And then he said something to the innkeeper, is this question. He said, if he needs more, I will repay it. In other words, what he was telling the innkeeper is, if he needs something else, put it on my account. Right? Now listen, he must have done something to that innkeeper. He must have been such, a stranger can't just go up to, let me try this, go up to the nearest hotel here. We'll just say there's a Holiday Inn right down the road, right? Go to the Holiday Inn, take a homeless person, put them there, and say, you know what, here's the money for them to sleep tonight. Let them stay here for another 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm going to come back and I'll pay you later for it. What do you think the person at Holiday Inn is going to say? Nope, give the money first, right? This innkeeper must had some kind of credit on his account from the Good Samaritan, or he had done so much good to this guy already that he already knows, you know what, this guy's good for his what he says. There's a lot of good on his account on my books. So I want to take you to the book of Philemon. If you have your Bibles or if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read these verses. So if you don't have it, that's okay. You can listen along. In the book of Philemon, it's one page long. It's one chapter is all it is. It's a letter Paul wrote to a gentleman named Philemon. He had a slave named Onesimus who ran away from him and left. And he got arrested, put in prison with Paul. Paul met this runaway slave named Onesimus, and he led him to the Lord. Onesimus continued to serve Paul in prison there, did great things for him while he was there in prison, took care of him, blessed him with such a blessing that Paul even described him as his own heart. And so he tells Onesimus something, and he sends this letter back to Philemon about him. So I want to tell you three things that I want to get from this text today. First one is this. What we do or don't do for others determines our profitability. Now listen to what I'm saying here. What we do or don't do for others will determine our profitability. Look in Philemon chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, Philemon, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Now listen, Onesimus ran away from Philemon, right? We don't know why he ran. We don't know what kind of person Philemon was as a master. We don't know what made Onesimus run from him. We don't know what kind of person Onesimus was. But what we do know is Paul knew that Philemon considered Onesimus an unprofitable servant at first. Paul said, I want you to see him as profitable. But first, Paul wanted to point out and said, you know what? He was once unprofitable to you. In other words, there's no credit on your books for Onesimus. He's only had withdrawals there. There's no credit there. There's nothing on your books for his account. And in fact, the way you see him is just somebody that is unprofitable because maybe he's not doing good things for you, so you must determine that he's unprofitable. But I want to point out that he is now profitable.
You know, if you look, here's the amazing thing. Look what he says in verse 12. I am sending him back. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever done a bunch of bad stuff and you knew you were going to have to face the person that you did bad to? Paul tells Philemon this. He says, look, I'm sending him back to you. Wait a minute. You're sending me back to the person who thinks I'm unprofitable? Yes. He will have to face the one he was unprofitable to. He's going to have to go back knowing there's no credit on his account, right? With his boss Philemon. You ever heard these phrases? It could come back to bite you or come back to haunt you, right? You heard the term, don't burn a bridge that you may have to cross one day, right? The world calls it karma, right? Jesus calls it a harvest thing. You reap what you sow, right? Well, Philemon saw him as unprofitable, but Paul wanted him to see him as profitable. The question that we have to ask ourselves first off is, how do others see you? I want to share a story I found just last night. It is just a remarkable. This came with the sermon. Listen to this. It's a story that was in the newspaper. It was done in four sentences because I refused to spend another dollar on that woman, Christina Novak tells People. No one was more surprised than Christina Novak when the short online obituary she placed in the journal about her mom's death went viral. Let's be clear. It's a PSA and it's no joke. It was written with sarcasm and relief, but it's real, Novak tells People exclusively. It was done in four sentences because I refused to spend another dollar on that woman. For those who have not read Florence Flo Harrelson's colorful send-off, which was published on August 30th, the death notice reads, Florence Flo Henderson, 65, formerly of Chelsea, died on February 22nd, 2024, without family by her side due to burnt bridges and a wake of destruction left in her path. Florence did not want an obituary or anyone, including family, to know she died. That's because, even in death, she wanted those she terrorized to still be living in fear, looking over their shoulders. So this isn't so much an obituary, but more of a public service announcement. Wow. At first read, some people online thought it was a joke, a sly goodbye to someone who could take a joke. According to Novak, her mother, a former Maine State Prison Corrections Officer, died months before anyone in the family even noticed. Novak, who had not spoken to her mom in a decade, says she only discovered what had happened after a discussion with a friend about how things were just too quiet lately. She Googled her mother's name and a death notice from a crematorium popped up. I messaged my aunt, my mom's identical twin sister. And I'm like, did mom die? And she's like, I don't know. Novak says, after some digging, I discovered it was her. Growing up, Novak says her mom took sport in ruining birthdays and Christmases, playing cruel pranks on her when she was just little. Like, allegedly, she took her to the top of a bridge and having her and her partner grab Novak's legs and arms and act like they were going to throw her over the side into the water below. She said, I still can't drive over a bridge without getting an anxiety attack. So she had no problem jotting down her true feelings, only restricted by the reported $1.25 per word price tag. In fact, she says, it felt cathartic to write it out. Before she turned in her four sentences, Novak says she ran it past her aunt, her mom's twin sister, to get her approval. She did not hear back for more than 24 hours, and when she did, she says her aunt only took note of a typo. She pointed out it's destruction, not distraction. However, it was supposed to be something only seen by her small Maine community and relatives, whom she described as very private people. Instead, her words suddenly became a widespread topic of discussion by people all around the world who didn't really know what they were even looking at. You believe that? So the question is, how do others see you? Do you have credit in their accounts? Are you putting credit in their accounts just so you can get something back? Paul said to Philemon, he says, I know Onesimus was unprofitable to you. I know there's no credit on your account for him. I know that. But things have changed. The second thing I want to point out here in this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon is, first off, what we do or don't do for others determines our profitability. The second thing is, what we do or don't do for others determines what's on our behalf. Look at verses 12 to 14. He said, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my very own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf, whose behalf? Philemon's behalf, right? On your behalf, Paul said, that he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. On your behalf, Philemon. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Paul tells him, look, what we do or don't do for others is going to determine what's on our behalf. Because Philemon did nothing to help Paul in prison. Paul's like, there's no credit on my account for you, Philemon. You've done nothing for me while I'm in here in prison. However, Onesimus has. He's been working, he's been blessing me, he's been helping me, he's been serving me on your behalf. In other words, there's going to be some credit on your account, Philemon, because of what Onesimus has done to me. Now here's the thing. You can accept that credit and have credit on my account for you that Onesimus has done for you. You can accept that, but you got to do it voluntarily. You can't do it by compulsion, because if you do it by being made to do it, it doesn't mean anything. It's like a spouse or a friend who says, you never do anything for me. And they go and do something for you right then. It's out of obedience and it doesn't mean anything to you, does it? But when somebody does something for you out of the blue, it blows you away, right? It means so much more. And Paul understood this. And so he told him, he says, look, the only way for credit to be put on Philemon's account was for it to be voluntary and not by compulsion. This was the way for Philemon to see Onesimus as now being profitable to him, because he's putting credit on Paul's account for Philemon. You need to see him as profitable now, because he's been serving me, he's been helping me, he's been blessing me, he's been an encouragement to me. And as a result of all of that, there's now credit on your account, Philemon. So this person who you saw as unprofitable now is very profitable to you, doesn't he? So, the third thing we need to see in this text is this. What we do or don't do for others determines our profitability. What we do or don't do for others determines what's on our behalf. And lastly is this. What we do or don't do for others determines the purpose of our reaping. Now, we all believe if you sow something, you're going to reap something back, right? We all believe in the harvest principle of the Bible, right? You sow and you'll reap, right? Am I the only one that believes that? Matt, do you believe that? You believe it? Anybody else believe it? It's a principle in Scripture. He says it. If you sow, you will reap, right? But here's the thing. Have you ever wondered what the purpose for your reaping was? When you got a blessing, all of a sudden out of the blue, one day you get a blessing and you're like, have you ever thought, wonder what the purpose of this blessing is? Is it something that I did? Or is it something I didn't do? What kind of formula? Because I want to keep this going, right? I want to keep whatever formula I did to get this blessing, I want to keep it going, you know? But listen to this. Philemon had to come to a point of something in his life. Look in Philemon verses 15 and 16. It says this. For perhaps he departed for you for a while for this very purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. There's a thing in the Bible, in a term, it's called bondservant. A servant usually, not always, yes, they did have slavery back in those days. However, a lot of the slaves that day were slaves because they owed money. They borrowed money from somebody, and as a result, they were indebted in servitude to the person that they borrowed the money from. They would either give them their kids, hey, my kid will work off this debt for me, or my servant will work off this debt for me, or I will work off this debt for me. Either way. And so Paul's helping him to see that, look, you're going to have him back now as a brother, not as just a servant anymore. And if you release his debt, if you wipe that off and you forgive him all the wrongs that he's done you, if you do that, you're going to receive an incredible blessing. He's like, well, yeah, I'm going to get him back for 4 more years because that's what he owes me. No, what he says is you may get him back forever. So how does that work? It's a thing called bondservant. It's a term called a bondservant. A bondservant is somebody, yes, who owes a debt, but that after it's paid off, this person says, I love my master so much that I choose to stay a servant. My master is so good to me, good to my family, takes care of me. I want to stay a servant of that master forever. Does this not sound familiar? Sounds like Jesus to us, doesn't it? He put everything into our account. He credited us with righteousness. He put it into our account. And therefore, by choice, we should want to serve him forever. Because we want to be a part of his family. He takes care of us. He does more for us than we can do for ourselves, right? Philemon may have lost a slave, but gained a brother. For how long? Possibly forever. So here's what it is. What we do or don't do for others determines the purpose of our reaping. Philemon had to come to a point that he had to release a hurt to receive a blessing. He could not reap a blessing until he released the hurt. And Paul's trying to help him understand this. It could be for this very purpose that you were hurt so that now you can receive this blessing. That he only was going to stay and serve you 4 years or whatever it could have been. Now he's going to be with you the rest of his life and serve you forever. But you got to release the wrong that was done. Here's the thing. We may or may not see the purpose of our reaping, but we still have to sow anyway. We may or may not see the purpose of our reaping. But you have to come to the point that you say, you know what, I'm doing this voluntarily out of love. I'm not keeping a record of wrongs. I'm doing it because I know what Christ has done for me. Listen, if those things didn't persuade Philemon that, look, how you react to this situation is going to determine not only Onesimus's profitability, but your profitability too, Philemon. What you do here in this situation is not only going to determine what benefits Onesimus, but it's also what's going to be on your best behalf. How you react to all of this not only is going to determine the purpose of reaping for Onesimus, but also for you, Philemon. But he says, if that wasn't enough, he ends the letter with this thought. In verses 17 to 19, he says, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Now listen for a minute. We don't know what Onesimus did. We don't know if Onesimus told Paul what all he did to Philemon. But yet, whatever it was, Paul was willing to take that onto his account. I don't know about you, but this is a great picture of what Christ did for us. Whatever wrong he did, put it on me on the cross. And I'm going to put on your account my righteousness. The reason why he said, put this on my account, is Paul knew that he had credit on Philemon's account. We know that theologians believe, and because of this word where he says, put it on my account, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. In other words, what he's saying is, here's a contract, and I'm going to sign my own signature, just in case, to show you that I really mean it, whatever it is. And he signed it. He said, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. Guess what? Paul knew that he had credit on Philemon's account. We know he led him to the Lord, and maybe even more. Maybe he's done a lot more for Philemon. He knew Philemon, and he knew that Philemon, he had credit on Philemon's account. But here's the thing. Whatever we do must be done voluntarily, must be out of love, not by compulsion. We don't need to be a keeper of wrongs. In 1 Corinthians 13, love is no keeper of wrongs. We need to do it even if they do not do it back to us. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? He said, turn the other cheek. Didn't he say, go an extra mile, go the 2 miles? He didn't say it so that later on, they'll go 2 miles for you. Didn't say it so that next time when you slap them in the cheek, they'll turn the other cheek also. He just said, do that. Just turn the other cheek. Just go the extra mile. Put credit in their account, in other words. Whether they return that credit back to you or not. But I can tell you this, if we don't have credit in their account, why do we expect things back? What's in your account with others? Jesus. What's in your account with others? We need to ask ourselves, what's in my account with other people? And we need to remember this. Jesus deposited his righteousness into our accounts so we could deposit into others. Listen, we forgive others. We show mercy to others. We show grace to others because he forgave us. Because he showed mercy to us. Because he continues to show grace to us. We have to come to a point in life where we choose the Jesus way over ours. We got to decide to put credit in others' accounts, even if they don't put credit back into our accounts. We got to come to the point where we sing that old hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Even if no one follows, I still follow. No turning back. No turning back. When we talk about this, putting things into other people's accounts, one of the hardest parables, I think, to understand of all the ones that Jesus taught is the parable of the unjust steward. And the unjust steward was found out that he was fired and the end of the day was going to come and that was his last day. And he goes and he starts to take all these accounts. And he starts to, and he goes down to one. He says, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 denarii. He says, make it 50. He goes to the next one and says, how much do you owe? 80. He says, you know what, let's make it 40. He starts going all down all these people that owed the master who fired him, who just fired him, and started making their debts low. Because he said, once I get out of here, I'm going to need help from somebody else. And I've got no credit on their account. In fact, I've got the opposite on their account. I've done bad stuff to them. I've collected too much taxes. I've collected a lot of stuff. I ran all over them. Now I've got to change that because I'm fixing to need them. And I need to show them my mercy and grace, so they'll show me mercy and grace. And we look at that and we say, that's shrewd, that's bad. But if you go look, the hardest thing to understand is Jesus praises the shrewd person. He says, you know how to be more shrewd with your treasures than the children of light. He's not telling us to be dishonest in the way we do things. He's saying, how do you invest your resources? Are you doing it just to get something from somebody else? You can do that, but I can tell you right now, if you're doing it to get that, it's a formula, you're not going to get anything back. But if you're doing it out of love and you're doing it for joy and you're doing it because you it was given to you, it's going to come back to you.
That's right.
And the reason why a lot of times we're discouraged, we're frustrated, we're depressed, we're discouraged, we're bitter, we're angry, is because we look at all we've done. What did the disciples do? They were like, look at me, I'm the greatest in the kingdom. Look at all the stuff I've done. I've done this, I've done that. They argued over which one was better. And Jesus told them, that's not going to bring you joy and happiness. I, your master, choose to wash your feet. Blessed are you if you do that. In other words, he told him, he says, happy you will be. You want happiness in life? Start to serve somebody out because you love them and you just want to. Psychologists tell us, even doctors, medical doctors tell us, when you start to do good for other people, something happens in your brain that causes a chemical reaction that actually not only makes you feel better, but they say even can show signs that it can even bring healing power. Maybe the reason we are caught up in our depressions and our discouragements and our frustrations is because we don't have credit in other people's accounts, or we're putting it in there to get something back in return for them. When we just need to serve somebody and love somebody voluntarily, not by compulsion, like Paul told Philemon here, you got to do it voluntarily, not by compulsion. I could make you do it because I'm an apostle. I can make you do this, but I'd rather it be your choice so that you can have credit on my account because of what Onesimus has done for you, Philemon. So, you got to ask yourself, what we do or don't do for others will determine our profitability to them. They'll look at us, they'll either look at you as somebody that's unprofitable to them, or they'll look at you as somebody who's profitable to them. How you treat others and what you do or don't do for others is going to determine what's on your behalf, what's on your account with them. They're going to look and say, when you ask for that one thing you want, and you want to point out you did the dishes that one time, they're going to point out a whole lot more stuff that you didn't help with. And then lastly, when you do get a blessing from the Lord, you do get a blessing back, do you realize that there's a purpose for that? According to the principle of the harvest, it's because you did sow something before. Once you sow, you will reap. And Paul says that. He says, perhaps he departed for you for this very purpose, that you may receive him forever. In other words, you have to release this hurt. If you don't release this hurt, you can't reap the blessing back. And you ready for this? And lastly is this. That hurt may be God. You may be mad at God. And there's a lot of times God's ready to give you a blessing, but he needs you to let go of a hurt first. My prayer to you is that you will have heard from the Lord today, that you will look at this letter from Paul to Philemon about Onesimus and this great, awesome reminder that Christ credited our account with his righteousness, with his forgiveness, with his mercy, with his grace. His grace is sufficient for every day. His mercies are new every day. His forgiveness is for us if we forgive others also. So my prayer today is that you will leave here today ready to look at ways that you can serve others. That you can put credit on your account on their books. Because you never know when you may need them. You never know when you're going to have to cross a bridge that you may have burnt before. You never know when something's going to come back to bite you when you've been mean to somebody and not thankful to somebody and not loving to somebody, and it's going to come back to bite when you really need their help. Because we will reap what we sow. And Paul's trying to help Philemon understand, look, there's this account between men, yes, but there's a bigger account with God the Father and us. And he'll wipe our account clean when we ask for forgiveness. And Jesus will credit into our account his righteousness. And we'll receive his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness so that we can in turn do that to others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I give you the honor and glory for all of this. Father, I just ask you to guide us, to direct us, and help us. We need you, Father. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. Father, guide us and direct us. We sang that song earlier, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, a dangerous prayer to pray and a dangerous song to sing if we really mean it, because sometimes when you open our eyes, God, we see areas in our life that we need to work on and we need to change. Don't let it be scare us away from praying a prayer, open our eyes. Let it be a motivation to pray the prayer like King David, who said, "Search my heart and know within me any wicked way, so that when you show me that, I can work on that, and then you can show me everlasting life and a way and a path to go." Father, show us. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. We need you, Father God. As we turn this week to look for opportunity to serve people just because, not because we have to, but because we want to, not out of obligation, but out of love, not out of compulsion, but out of voluntary spirit. May we sow service in a way that we'll even be able to receive it back one day when we really need it, because we have credit on somebody's account. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. Bless us this week. Guide us. Heal us. Help us. Provide for us and protect us as only you can. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Larry. Thank you.
Thank you. Nah, probably not. Just turn it off. All right, well, might as well. Easier. Okay. I guess Chris is still in the back. So why don't we do this? Why don't I go ahead and take the prayer requests, so we can move along. Huh? Oh, did we not stop the live? Yeah, we want to stop the live. Can I do that? I don't know if I'm hitting it or not.